McDonald's Viking Grill Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking Basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Grill Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Benton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the worldwide web
from a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another edition of the Viking Realm Podcast. It's presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I normally say alongside with the head goofball coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles. My name's Carl Knox. But today is a different situation, as Coach Coles is not in attendance. We've brought in some heavy hitters, folks. The best want to have the children and any sensitive people exit the room right now. So happy to be joined by assistant head varsity coach NJ Kite and JV coach Chad Carpenter. Hello, gentlemen.
How's it going?
Carl,
good.
Nice to see you.
Good.
We are combined the same weight as Matt Coles, though.
That is true.
Really?
We do take his
two
place.
Bodies, one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and you guys are pretty punctual, too.
We try.
Yeah. Had a little lunch. I look like, well, you're supporting our...
supporting the sponsor.
Sponsor. Mickey D's Cups on the console of the studio. Comesy's not here today.
No.
Kind of a last-minute gig getting you guys to free up your busy schedules, because you actually do have meaningful day jobs as opposed to...
whatever it is he does.
Yeah.
We don't know, really.
He's constantly telling me he does more work before 9 a.m. than I do all day.
He drives.
Yeah.
He drives an hour, half, whatever. But got some things to go over. How long has it been? A couple, two, 3 years since you guys have been in here?
No, we came in last
year. We were in last year.
Oh, that's right. You were.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of becoming, it's something that we like to do once a year, just because throughout the course of the season, and the season not just being the regular season, the summer season, the postseason, conditioning, all of that, you get your fill of one another, you and all 50 of Matt's assistant coaches. So we want to bring you in, talk about your views on the season. Obviously, Chad, we're going to get to the JV team, mm-hmm. talk about that. Real quickly, though, we want to run down some events and games over the past week, as you guys on the varsity level extend your record to, what, 14-1 overall, 7-1 in the TVC?
Yep.
Kind of bounce back after that tough loss over at the Alley, as you guys go up to Nelsonville this past Tuesday night, January the 24th, and kind of whoop up on the Buckeyes, final score of 100-52, and then another big, big win against Athens this past Friday night, January the 27th, as you take care of the Bulldogs, 85-52. I talked to you, and obviously we talked to Coach Combs last week about the loss, and quickly, before we get into offseason stuff like that, this is the first time he's had a loss since the illness, since the sickness. Has he changed? Is he mellower? How did he handle that? Because I know he was in a funk.
Yeah, I think he handled it really well. You have that loss. I think over the years he's gotten better at handling that. I think before his initial reaction was just, I'm going to yell, I'm going to scream, we're going to practice in sweaty jerseys for 3 hours. But really, he talked, and he's right. We just brought him in the next day. We went through. We just went over a few things, talked about where we needed the season to go and adjustments we needed to make, and I thought the kids responded really well this week.
On the JV level, do you guys even how often? I know I've had one or two occasions this year I've seen where you guys will share the gym, split practice. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, Chad, you guys are really over in the old gym or practicing at a different time, or do you still combine?
We kind of overlap practices for the most part. They'll start their practice at 3:45 in the new school,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll come in at 4:15. And at the time that we're overlapping, we both pretty much just stay on different ends of the court. He tries to do his full court stuff
right
at the beginning, and then we do our full court stuff at the end of the practice. And you know, some years we practice together. This year, not so much, just because, you know, it's a pretty deep group at the varsity level, and they're able to, you know, match up pretty well.
Exactly.
So,
well, back to the Nelsonville game. I wanted to give the stats on that because I knew a lot of our listeners do like to hear the statistics. Final score, 152. Vinton County shoots 48% from the field, 48% from beyond the three mark. As you guys go 13 of 27 from long range, 65% from the free throw line. Points in transition, 20 points. Points off turnovers, 28. 18 second chance points. You outboard Nelsonville collectively 52-31. 23 assists for Vinton County as opposed to only 6 for the Buckeyes. And you turn it over 15 times as opposed to Buckeyes turning it over 24. Scoring for Vinton County, Naylon Yates leads the Vikings with 26 points. Tristan Bartow and Derek Jones have 15 apiece. Curtis Vickers with 8. Jake Speakman with 7. Sean McCarty with 4. Cameron Hammond had 5. Caleb Montgomery 1. Eli Griffith 8. And the big guy, Bryce Damron, only had 4 points. Now, he was a little out with a flu up in Nelsonville.
Yeah, he actually left the gym at halftime.
Right, and I know he
sent him home.
Yeah, he was sick in the locker room before the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
It goes around. We can all. No, I'm not on the team, but I mean, no, Coach Gomes has fought it. You had a nice little bout of it over the holidays.
Yeah.
So, it's just part of the season. Anyhow, moving along to the Athens game back on January the 27th, a game that as much as taking nothing away from Athens, as convincing of a win as we had at their place back in December, I think everybody, players, coaches, fans, everybody was a bit nervous this past Friday night, because you just know that not just Alexander Vinton County, but obviously Athens Vinton County over the past several years has had a lot of, I mean, you just, I know it's cliche to say throw out the records, but a very nice environment, very big, big crowd. And I'm willing to bet probably 70%+ of it was Vinton County. But you guys come out in the first quarter. After one, it was 14 all, and then you double them up in the second quarter, outscoring the Bulldogs 23-11, outscore them 28 to 12 in the third quarter, and 20-15 in the fourth for the 85-52 win. Just what your guys' thoughts? What was the overall game plan? Was it taking the ball to the rack? Was that something? Because it seems like we early in that game we did not shoot a lot of outside shots. It seemed like we were trying to penetrate their zone, and I mean, they went into man for a while. But what was kind of the focus that you wanted to do offensively, NJ?
We just, like you said, we wanted to get to the basket. Like, we think that, you know, with our four guards that we have on the floor, if teams guard us man, and Athens played us a lot of man the other night,
right,
that if we work our offense and get a few ball reversals, we should get a favorable matchup where we can get somebody going downhill to the basket.
Obviously a phenomenal night for Tristan Bartow, as he puts up 37 points and was just, I don't know, watching the game and then going back and watching the film, some of the ball handling that he exhibited Friday night was kind of like a great artist's painting. I mean, he was crossing kids up and doing some stuff that just seems like he was not to be stopped. And obviously a lot of comparisons going on right now between him and Griffin Lutz for Athens. And as you guys held him, I think, what, 12 points?
I think that's right.
Something like that. But a huge win is, like I said, Tristan has 37. Naylon Yates has 25 for Vinton County. Jake Speakman with 12. Derek Jones with 2. Nevin Yates with 3. Eli Griffith with 4, and Bryce Damron with 2 points. And also, can't forget, a nice JV win.
Yeah, it was a good win for our kids. They played really well. Proud of them.
Yeah, and I know your mentor, Ron Ricketts, the JV coach over at Athens, always a feather in your cap when, you know, someone that you can been coaching against for many, many years.
A few. Yeah, we've had some battles over the years, so.
Yeah.
So, always feels good to beat
Athens. That was a comeback win, too. You guys weren't you down like early in the game?
It was close most of the game. It was back and forth.
But
regardless, it was a real good win. They had yet to lose in the league this year, and they had beaten us by double digits the first game over there.
Yeah, they got you good over there.
Yeah,
that's something that, and a lot of times on the JV level, you know, you don't always, if you got good sophomores or good freshmen, they don't play for you. They get, you know, the selfish one, Matt Combs, takes them and they go right to the varsity level. So right. Congratulations on that. One thing I wanted to point out and get your, I don't think people really get what you guys do in addition to just wearing the suits and ties and looking nice and aiding the beauty of the bench. But
I thought that's all we did.
No, well, that's why I want to clarify this right now. Okay. Just the other things you could do. I mean, okay, back to the actual coaching. You're still running the offense.
Yeah, I call our offense.
You call the offense. What do you do on the varsity bench? Are you substitution?
No, I usually consult with Matt on the defensive end.
And I did hear, to that point in the Athens game, you were the one that kind of convinced him to go into that 1-3-1 zone. Or I don't know, it was a 1-3-1 or a 3-2.
It was a 1-3-1. I think he actually mentioned it to me on Friday, but Thursday night I was watching the film and you know, saw some things and just texted him and maybe just planted the seed, but you know, he still made the final call.
Specifically, why was it that you thought that the moving into a zone, which we traditionally do not do that very often, what was it that you saw on tape that you thought that might work for our advantage?
Well, obviously Lutz is really good at getting to the rim,
right?
And you know, one thing he does not do a lot of is shoot three pointers.
No.
So when we went to it, we actually played it in the fourth quarter when we were over there in December. Mm-hmm. And the few possessions that we did it seemed like every possession they took an outside shot. And, you know, it kind of negated him getting to the rim, which he was able to do in the first quarter. So, you know, we looked at that thinking, you know, at least we can keep him outside on the perimeter, you know, and then as long as we can defend their outside shot, then you know, we might have a chance at getting, stringing some stops together. And then they banked a three in.
Right.
The ball kid banked a three in on the first possession of it. And I don't believe they scored again.
No,
the rest of the half.
That's what I thought. You guys came out of a timeout, went into a 1-3-1. I thought, this is interesting. They're going to zone them. And, you know, they kind of looked like deer in the headlights for three or four passes. And then the guy knocks down a three ball from way outside.
Right.
Off the glass. And I'm like, ew. But you stuck with it, and it turned itself around. But, you know, with Lutz, I heard your point there. He is not traditionally known as a three-point shooter, but he can get to the rack. He loves to penetrate. But that being said, Athens is still a lot longer of a team than we are collectively. So that was a good call. Glad to see you did that. One of the other things I want to mention real quickly, in addition to calling the offense and consulting with coach, and I know I don't know if it's Coach Albright or Coach Neal, someone's doing timeouts, someone's doing substitutions. There's a lot of stuff going on. And of course, I take it you still get your index cards.
I don't get an index card anymore. Now,
you
maybe
make your
Chris.
Own? I make my own, yeah.
Okay.
Now, Combs will give me suggestions as to stuff that he sees that he thinks will be things that work, but yeah.
But there's different index cards. I know Matt is a disciple of the index card.
He loves a good index card.
It starts out good. Usually by the third quarter, it's a wet, sloppy mess that you can't really, it's not legible, but he's big on the grandma's recipe card, you know, writing in his office.
Yes.
Just to cover exactly how extensive your job goes. At one point in time in the first quarter, I guess, game's, you know, kind of tight. It wasn't like we came out and just blew it open. Look over the scores table and one Brogan Combs, little guy, the little tornado, whom you guys have a very close relationship with because Brogan now comes to practice often, especially over the holidays and weekends.
Oh yeah.
Brogan wanted to talk to his dad in the middle of the varsity game.
Sometimes you need to talk to your dad.
Exactly. Most dads would talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Matt didn't.
No, he didn't. Coach Kite, Coach Carpenter, everybody in the gym saw it.
He seemed more concerned with the game.
I know. I was just, you know.
That's poor parenting.
That is.
I shared a Twizzler with him.
Bless you. And you, I think, talked to him, and I was told that actually our executive producer of the podcast, one DB Bruce Cakes Knox, who's also the PA announcer.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Kind of befriended Brogan, and next thing you know, Brogan's sitting on his lap or standing beside him, and Bruce, because of the neglect that his father was giving poor Brogan, kind of made friends with him just to kind of get the city, you know, kind of get the situation settled down.
I hope social services doesn't get a hold of the game film.
Didn't Mrs. Combs, didn't Mrs. Matt Combs at one time work in social services?
I believe so.
Wow.
maybe Terry Wayne Pup Dog Hale would
that's
maybe
true.
Do something.
He does. He works in the juvenile services.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Hope he doesn't listen to this.
We got a conflict.
Yeah. We may want to cut this section.
And then finally, after tragically being ignored for what seemed to be an eternity, Matt Combs, Brogan's father, obviously an indifferent father, but nonetheless his father, did notice that the poor child was there. Mm-hmm. In his selfish haste of winning a game to pad his record, finally did realize that his son was there needing to talk. And guys, what transpired from there? What happened?
I think Coach had a nonverbal discussion with his wife from across the floor. And then said wife made the trip around the court to get Brogan.
From what I saw, it was a pretty expeditious trip.
Yeah.
It was fast.
She may have beaten Griffin Lutz down the court that time.
Well, you know, obviously, Mrs. Combs is, carrying the weight of that parenting thing right there.
It was on full display Friday night. Whew.
What'd you say? There's probably 500-600 people in the stands. I don't know what.
I saw the gate this morning. And it was the highest I've ever seen since I've been working here. So.
And coach and father, father first. Coach Combs, yeah. Well, glad the Vikings won. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
We won the basketball game. We probably did not win the parenting game.
No, and you, I mean, obviously, NJ's single. He's still waiting on his princess to arrive. But you, the father of three beautiful young girls, you can empathize of, Dad, I need to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Especially, your girls are now, I think your oldest is now at that age of, being inquisitive and, needing parenting support.
Yeah. I would have let her sit on the bench with us if she had came over.
Yeah, I mean, it goes without saying you would have shared a Twizzler.
Yeah, without question. I would have given up my last Twizzler, probably.
Knowing you would have given up your seat.
Mm-hmm. I won't argue that.
Jeez. See, these are the things that people need to really know about what goes on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I believe Combs has been the TVC Coach of the Year, what, 8 or 9 times, probably? I don't believe he's ever won the TVC Parent of the Year.
17 years running.
He's never even told me that there was an award for that, and obviously we know why now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we must move on. Jeez. The nerve of that guy. I tell you what. Okay, guys, we got to move on. coming up this Tuesday night, that's tomorrow, January the 31st, go back down to Jackson. It's our second game of the year against the Ironmen in a non-league tilt. I think earlier in the season, we took care of business with a 90-59 win. You guys are very close friends with one Max Morrow, the head coach of the Ironmen. Anything you look for differently out of tomorrow night's contest? Obviously, it's at Jackson, but
sure.
I mean, they're I think it's safe to say that Jackson is an up-and-coming program.
Oh, yeah. Max does a fantastic job with them. He's really got them moving in the right direction. I didn't think the score was really indicative of the actual game. I mean, that was a single-digit game midway through the second quarter. And then we had a point where we just kind of, went on a huge run to make that score bigger than what I really think the competitiveness was.
To your point, it was at that game, we were only up by 3 after the first quarter, then went on a run midway through the second quarter and outscored them 29-14. Really, the damage was done as we pulled away in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But, they got some kids. The Speakman kid, I was very impressed with, can shoot the 3-ball from anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not just a spot up one spot. And then on the level, unfortunately for you, their JV team strong. I've heard that their freshman class and what is it, their 8th grade class?
They have a really good 7th grade
class.
7th
grade class. Okay. Yeah.
But I think they have a winning record at every level maybe right now, except for their varsity's floating around 500.
Yeah, exactly. So we got that game coming up, and then the big one that everybody's going to be talking about as you guys embark, start a three-game road trip with Jackson tomorrow night on the what would that be? February the 3rd. Got to go down to Meigs. That's obviously going to be a huge, huge TVC game. Never easy to play down there. I don't think it's any. You know what's coming. You know they're going to zone you. Right. How much do you guys work on that? Even this late in the season, when you've had pretty much one go around with most of your opponents. Will you guys probably spend a lot of time Wednesday, Thursday night going over that? Or
yeah, we will. We'll talk about. Excuse me. We will talk about things that we can do against the zone, soft spots, places where we had success. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time. We won't spend a ton of time like going through as far as like playing 5-on-5. We will a little bit just to kind of get them going in the right direction. But you know, we've seen a lot more zone this year than what we have man. Now we don't see a lot of 1-3-1.
Right.
So we will kind of get them adjusted for that, and things that we think will be successful and things that won't be successful, things we can do better than what we did the last time. But yeah, I mean it's we'll prepare for the defense. But we also got to spend some time there. They're obviously very good offensively. Has some guys that can do some damage. So we need to prepare that way also.
Just while we're still on the varsity level, before I get into talking to Karp about the JV squad, injury wise, where are you at? I know that Derek had tweaked his knee over at Alex, and I had been told he was playing with a strained or. MCL?
Yeah, I think it wound up being a strained MCL. He played, gutted one out, and played Tuesday night at Nelsonville.
Right. Where's he at percentage wise?
You know, he looks better every day. I'd say he's about 90%.
Where does Anthony Mendez stand after a dislocated knee?
Antonio, I had Antonio in class before I came out here. He's still limping around. He can kind of move a little bit, can kind of bounce.
Does he have a brace on?
He does have a brace on. So I mean, he looks. I don't know if it's just the brace that makes him look like a stiff-legged as what he looks right now, but he says he feels a lot better, so I would anticipate, obviously not a doctor, right. I'd guess a week or so on Antonio, a week or two on
Antonio. And other than that, everything else is just flu bug going around.
Right, flu bug, you know, just nicks and, you know, things for some other guys that they'll play through.
Coach Carpenter, your JV squad, what is your record so far this year?
We're 10-5 right now.
10-5?
Yeah. Okay.
That is good.
It's better than 5-10.
When you win 10 games, you only lose 5. That's
correct.
That's good. Talk about your roster. I know you got a lot of kids going both ways on JV and varsity this year. I think Cameron Hammond.
Sean McCarty.
Noah Waddell. Who else do we got?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay, but just give the listeners and subscribers a breakdown of your team. What's the overall goal when you have a JV team? Because when you got kids switching and they're not practicing necessarily with you every day, I mean, I know you guys predominantly, probably 90% of what the varsity level is doing, you guys are doing. But just talk about your team, your roster, and your thoughts on the season.
Yeah. We're kind of it's a different team than I've had in the past. This is the first year we don't have any freshmen. On the squad, I believe we have 5 juniors: Bailey Bartow, Cameron Hammond, Sean McCarty, Noah Waddell, Bradley Mercer,
mm-hmm. who didn't play last year but
did
came
not.
Back out.
He came
this
back
year.
And he's been a welcome addition. Really good shooter, one of our best free throw shooters. Sophomores, we have Lincoln Hayes, Ricky Bodie, Trafford Dunn, and Austin Hill.
Okay, so. 10-5 record.
Yeah. I mean, our goal, I think, obviously we want to win when we're in the games.
But sure.
Big picture, you know, we want to be better than we were at the beginning of the year, which I think we're trending towards. Mm-hmm. And then ideally, we want, you know, these kids to be ready to play varsity basketball when they're, you know, when we send them up to the varsity level, I want them, you know, to be familiar with everything. You know, they should be ready to expect everything that he's going to throw at them.
Well, really, if you got a JV or freshman coach and they come right out of the gate and say, our biggest goal is to win every game, you probably either have a very bad varsity coach or you're a little bit delusional. I know that sounds – but one thing I would – you know, talking about you know, the summer with Coach Combs' illness and everything, you guys kind of took over the helm. I know you did a lot. How was the summer season, and how did it play out with you guys and the kids in light of the fact that you get a phone call at some point in time in early June, something that's not right, something's wrong, and that's really right in the height of when summer season starts, is after we get the kids out of school. What is summer season? June, July?
A lot of June, a little bit of July. You can't do anything with them in August, really. But yeah, June's the heavy month.
How different? Not scary, but it's a unique situation for you as an assistant. All of a sudden, you know, you're the one that's handling the summer league, the shootouts, the team camps, all of that stuff. How did it play out?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think things went pretty smoothly. I mean, obviously it was you know, rough not having Combs there, because you knew he was struggling a little bit. And you know, we obviously, I mean, as much as we pretend like we don't, we actually like having Combs around.
Oh yeah,
sometimes. But no, I mean, really, it was a group effort. I mean, I guess I was in charge of things, but you know, Carp was at almost everything. Nolan was at almost everything. Pup was a lot of stuff. Then Jared and Chris obviously were a lot of things also.
Where did you go to team camp this year?
Eastern Ohio.
Oh, that's okay. That's the second year in a row you've been there, right?
Oh no, Combs wouldn't go to. There's no way Combs.
Okay,
would go to
next year will be our second year in a row.
But I know Tristan really enjoyed himself there.
Yeah, Tristan and Bryce loved
it. No complaints.
Loved it.
Didn't hear any.
Loved it. It was. They said it was like a resort, like going to a resort.
Okay, for our listeners that don't know, the Eastern. Where is it? It's like up by.
I believe it's in Sharonsville, Ohio.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
It's near New Philadelphia.
It's not. You're not sleeping in a hotel. It's like what a 4-H cabin or some.
Sure, yeah. That'd be a good way to describe it.
It's
there's room enough for X number of beds, and that's about it.
Yeah, and if you have like one of your fellow coaches has a snoring problem, I understand it's very hard to.
Boy, I hope nobody'd have to put up with something like that.
That would be tough.
Yeah,
those are close quarters.
Yeah, but it's the amenities. Is there a spa, hot tubs? Swimming pools.
There was a swimming pool.
There was a pool.
Yeah.
A pool?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They had a pond for fishing.
A pool and a pond.
You were interested.
Pond might be good for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. No cell service.
Okay. It just sounds
cafeteria
like...
Cafeteria food, I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, there was an ugly rumor before we went there that they use plastic cutlery and then rewash it and have you use it again. But that was all a lie.
As far as you know.
Well, they had updated it in the last 5 years. Last time I went.
So that's the plan next year, is you're going back to Eastern Ohio camp.
Well, I mean, I think that's only fair. Because
okay.
You know, Coach didn't get to experience it.
He didn't get the full, you know, full effect. I mean, he was, you know, and I'm not trying to make light of his illness. It was serious.
Right, absolutely.
But the New James Hospital, did you get a chance to make it up there to visit? So you guys were there. I don't know which round you were in, but wonderful place. I mean, as far as the hospital goes, it's very nice.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember one time Coach was kind of, he was kind of bragging because I guess according to him, now again, I'll predicate it, it's according to him, that there's certain rooms in the James Hospital that are kind of like suites. They're extra big, and Coach thought that maybe one of the suites he got on one of his treatments, I don't know if it was by luck or they found out who he was, but it was a corner room. And as a coach puts it, what's it, Sheryl Crow, famous singer that used to date Lance Armstrong.
Right.
I guess Sheryl Crow had some cancer issues, and they flew her into Columbus to be treated. And he thought maybe that was the same suite that he got. It's probably why you guys were having reused cutlery and sleeping in 4-H cabins and cold showers. And so, but I think you're right, Coach Carpenter. It's only fair that Coach Combs should get to experience the fellowship and bonding and roughing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great camp. It really is. You play team. You play really good teams.
You play all the time.
And you play all the time.
Which is what he said he wanted in a camp.
Right.
2 years ago, we went to Michigan. And we had went to Michigan
Ann Arbor,
State
the
previous year. And he said, you know, these are really great camps. They're nice. The only thing I'd like to see is us to be able to play more basketball.
Because a lot of these camps you go to at college campuses are a lot of instructional and speaking by their staff, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. So at Eastern Ohio, you basically, it's just a tournament atmosphere. You play, take a 45-minute break, play, 45-minute break,
right.
Lunch, play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So basically, if we don't go back there next year, it's Combs' selfishness that that the accommodations are not deluxe enough for his liking.
No, and just to be honest, really, he's not what I would consider like an outdoorsy. He doesn't do nature a lot.
No, it's not
really in his wheelhouse. So
I don't know. We have a lot of talent on this team. We have great players, but I don't think it's a coincidence that we're having a special season. The season immediately following going to Eastern Ohio.
Well, and I don't think it's a coincidence that look who ran the summer program. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not patronizing you guys. I'm calling a spade a spade. But as you well know, even in light of this season, as long as you guys have both been doing this, varsity squads are not made during the varsity season. They're made in the off season. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
As many great coaches and basketball personalities that we have interviewed on this podcast, they'll all say the same thing. It's about the off season. It's about how much the kids work in the off season and how much the coaches, when they're allowed to, really take that limited amount of time to get the kids focused.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tiger Woods or something. But you guys obviously pulled that off this summer, and Viking Nation should be eternally grateful to you guys. You two, along with Coach Albright, Coach Neal, Coach Yates, and Coach Terry Wayne Pop Lama Hale, the whole staff. In the absence of the guy with all the awards in his office that wasn't there. And it also screwed up our golf season, too.
Oh.
Let's just...
Massively.
Didn't you have a little withdrawal, NJ?
I did.
I mean, I know you still have your games at Fairgreens and, you know, your other games, but...
Yeah, but I need that dose of Combs throwing a fit. I can't. Summer was just rough.
It's kind of like, you know... It's like a hot fudge sundae with no cherry on top. It's just, mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. I missed it too. And we were told early in the off season by all of our bosses, the executive director of basketball, Terry Wayne Pop Hale, that there was going to be, he was calling the pool party. There was going to be the staff pool party again last summer. Coach Combs screwed that up too.
I worked really hard to get into shape for that.
Yeah, I know. Because... you know, when all the coaches' wives and everybody was here 2-3 years ago when we had that, and you broke out the Speedos, man, the coaches' wives, whew.
Turned a lot of heads.
Yes, it did.
Around.
Yes, it did.
Away.
Just one of those things. But at any rate, guy, I know you got to get back to work. You have, what, how many more classes?
Three. I have three more classes.
And I do know that Coach Combs was apparently going to cover your room.
Well, he's covering lunch duty.
I wouldn't put him in a math class.
The cafeteria, great place for Combs.
Well, the kids might go hungry.
Well, Bryce is in this lunch also.
There could be a fight.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. I that's been the talk of amongst the team is who can out-eat who, Combs or Bryce.
Combs is a professional.
Yeah. Little young whippersnapper Bryce.
Yeah.
I think it matters. Well, I think it depends on what they ate.
Yeah, maybe fried chicken, Bryce could
Chicken-type item that's fried, I believe Bryce
could hold his
own. I heard Bryce
is a
hold his own.
big fan of the KFC bucket or two.
Big bucket, yeah.
Big bucket, the family mm-hmm. bucket. Okay. Guys, I do appreciate you stopping by. I look forward to staying in touch with you. Always great joy to deal with the true professionals of the staff when we have a guy like Combs who neglects his child during the game.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Talk to Coach Hale about that. See what we can get worked out. Maybe maybe a little counseling.
Yeah.
Home visit.
Yeah, something. I mean, it's just one of those things. Sometimes things are not what the fans really see. And I think it's only in the spirit of being transparent that everybody realizes how it works and, you know, gets the true picture. I mean, would you guys not agree?
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. Well, for Coach Chad Carpenter, Coach NJ Kite, I'm Carl Knox. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Viking Roundball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.